Gotcha.
Give the mind to the things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Podcast episode 156, Fall Has Fell. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
And I am a Webster.
And we are a podcast.
Just one of them?
Most of the time.
She's like one of those, Marvel superheroes that can split himself up to multiple places at once.
But I'm only one at a time. I am one of a multitude.
But only one at a time.
Exactly.
So, how are you all?
I'm alive. I'm,
breathing?
Yes, I am breathing, last I checked. I have all my limbs in their optimum configuration.
Heads on top?
Heads on top.
Which is better than head on bottom. Or end it's, bottom.
It's been a week.
Why? A week of what? Just busy?
Pretty much. And, you know, sad news around two. You know, Fuzz's mom died.
Yes.
He's tweeted about that. Now he gets to handle the what's left behind, which is not fun, I'm sure.
No, it's one of those things I dread, is having to do that final cleanup. It kind of sucks.
Yeah. And Steve Jobs died, which is really sad, because, you know, we here at Notcast are total Mac fags. And he really was a smart guy. I mean, even if you don't like the products, he was a fucking genius.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I mean, I don't own anything Mac, but I still respect the guy. He did a lot for the industry.
I got to make a... Well, got to. I shouldn't put it that way. I found it interesting how many people were posting about the importance that Steve Jobs had from their iPhones and iPads and iMacs.
And then the Westboro Baptist Church, we're going to pick at his funeral, sent
what?
From Twitter for iPhone.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, they're attention whore cunts. It would be funny if they were killed by a Mac fan before being killed by, like, an angry military family.
Beaten to death with an iPad. You suck.
And then torn to pieces by the military at large.
I'm sorry. I'm surprised that a serious military family hasn't gone and just kicked their ass, or else, you know, some military
you
people
know,
get
I,
fed
I've really
up.
Wished that they would go to some small town, and suddenly halfway across the town, there was an emergency, and all the police would be needed, and then stuff would just happen, and nobody would see a thing.
Yeah.
And that's how they're going to die.
I just am really surprised that they haven't gotten what's coming to them.
Well, they have. They've had stuff happen to them in the past, but they sue the city for failing to protect them. You have to get them all in one fell swoop. They're like cancer. They're human cancer.
To be fair, they're doing
and cancer a sucks.
They
should kill it.
They're providing a service by taking all of the hateful crazies and compiling them into one place. At their worst, that everybody can look at and say, wow,
you
let's not be those people.
One place for a good, well-placed pipe bomb.
I saw something amazing, and I'm not the biggest fan of PETA. I'm really not. But apparently in, I think it's Arkansas, they've got this thing where it's the turkey drop. And apparently they... Small private planes take off, and then they throw turkeys, most of which can't actually fly, out the planes. And some kind of glide down, but most just plummet hideously.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, most of the time, PETA just seems like an extremist. But then I see this, and it's like, what the fuck? Why... Why would somebody do this?
What do they do it for a reason or just?
It's part of like an annual fall festival. I don't know how it started. Don't really care.
Are they dropping the turkeys on starving communities?
No.
Oh.
There's usually, it sounds like there's like this little fair that goes on underneath, and then they just throw turkeys out to watch them flap and fall.
Do they make sure that they don't hit people with falling turkeys?
I have no idea.
Because death by turkey would be a horrible way to go.
I don't know exactly how much safety they take in the bystanders, but...
Like, you know, in Dead Like Me, I think it was. Yeah, oh, Dead Like Me. She got killed by a falling toilet seat, but it was from space, so...
Yeah, it was part of Mir. It was Mir's toilet seat.
So there's an element of coolness to being killed by a toilet seat from space. But being killed by a turkey from PETA?
Well, no. PETA was just reporting on it. PETA was going, oh my god, they're being horrible to animals. And this time, yes, I actually agree. They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not quite the same as Westboro Baptist protesting a funeral.
No. But it's both horrible institutions. It's just for once, I actually agree with one of them. And it was a rare thing. It was tangenting along.
A very strange tangent, Shiva. Very strange tangent.
Horrible organizations is a valid tangent. Just because you don't see it doesn't make it any less valid.
I'm just shaking my head here. You can't see it, but you can't hear it either. But yeah, it's been kind of a week. Not a lot going on.
We got OkaCon in 2 weeks.
Yay! Looking forward to that. I probably won't kill anybody.
At OkaCon or before?
Both. Or perhaps the answer is yes.
Please no blood at OkaCon. Blood at OkaCon would be bad.
Why? Why do you show me these things, Panther?
And the awesome people who run it would probably not appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's not bleed on Anthrocon.
See, now that could be
one
funny.
One of these things is not like the other.
5,000 versus 200. Yes, yeah, slightly different outdoors downtown.
Internet electronic what?
Yeah. I do like that you go there and you no cell signal, no nada.
Yeah. And unless you're with Verizon or Sprint, I think, have coverage there now.
AT&T doesn't, and that's all I really care about.
Yeah, that's actually a detriment to my contemplating switching to Sprint for my cell phone provider. Because then I could have cell phone reception at OkaCon, and I really don't want that.
About the same. It's nice just to go there and enjoy the outdoors. It's nice, quiet, peaceful. You still got people around to chat with, but everybody's just chill.
But if you want, you can kind of go off by yourself and maybe not get eaten by rattlesnakes and or coyotes.
Maybe.
Because you only get bitten by rattlesnakes.
You might step in some pucker brushes.
Yep.
Oh, God, what horrible thing does Panther have now?
He doesn't respect the fact that we're trying to do a show anymore. He's just like, nope, I have something to show you.
He's telling me
he showed us a Dalek called Paddington a moment ago.
Yes.
He's telling me that the solution to OkaCon is turning my phone off while I'm at OkaCon. But I have things I like to do, like play games and read books. Well, maybe less read books, but I'd like to try reading books. I
But wise wisdom.
That's true. I could do airplane mode. I could do airplane mode.
But you might be tempted, and this without it, you remove all temptations if you can't get online.
True.
But you mean I can't obsessively check Twitter every 5 minutes?
Nope.
But my zombies will wither and die.
Well, that's why you don't play Farmville games.
It's not Farmville. It's Zombie Farmville.
There is a distinction. Yes.
One has zombies and involves killing Old MacDonald and the Ice Cream Man.
Ah. Yes.
That's so different.
I'm assuming that you don't do those things in Farmville. I've never played it.
But... other than that, I mean, fuck cancer.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That's kind of in a...
A running theme.
For this week.
Yeah. I mean, just Fuzz's news was...
I mean, he...
That's horrible.
His mom died. People are... I mean, I found out lately, you know, this is news to me that my... My grandfather, he's the one here in Texas, the last one I kind of have locally, he had cancer, and he's going into chemo, and he's like 85 and a World War II vet, and holy shit, what the fuck? Why wasn't I told this? So that's great.
My grandpa has prostate cancer, but it's a very, very slow, slow-moving one. And so they opted he'd probably die of other issues that he has before it gets him, so they opted to not treat it.
Hmm.
So they gave him 5 years, one way or another. And right now he's dying of Lou Gehrig, so that might get him first. But yeah, he still has it. It's still there. It's like, holy crow.
It's kind of like, you know, I went out to Fort Worth the other day, spent time with my parents and stuff. I mean, sometimes you... really just need to go spend time with them because you don't know how long you got them around.
Yeah, that was my whole thing. It's like, get a hold of my parents this weekend and say hi.
Yeah.
See, I did that, and this was both a really good week and kind of a bad week to do that because earlier this week, she told me that earlier this week, she went in for really, really intense abdominal pain. And they thought it was a hernia, so they were going to go in and find out. And they didn't find a hernia, but they found fibrous tumors.
Oh.
Man, cancer's just kicking everybody's ass right now.
So.
Yeah.
Waiting to find out.
What the deal is there.
What's happening with that.
Cancer sucks. That's all there is to it. It's... I don't know. Is it becoming more prevalent, or is it just our age ranges where people are becoming, you know, we're getting older parents now? Are they just moving into the age where it's going to keep cropping up, or...?
I think it's a function of the fact that we are older, in general. I mean, my grandfather's 80. My other grandpa, and the one in St. Louis, is, like, in almost 80. And my dad's dad, who I don't have contact with, apparently he's got some form of debilitating something or other that's screwing him over. So it's like, I mean, all of our, I mean, extended family-wise, kind of falling apart. They're all reaching the end of life. And it's just a function of, as we grow older, so are they, until they stop growing older.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah. So, welcome to Depression Cast. Hopefully you haven't slit your wrist yet.
It was,
but yeah.
Jumping off a little bit, with Steve Jobs, Rachel Maddow did a third of her show the next day, or that day, was a tribute to Steve Jobs, and in it they showed the video from the release of the original iMac.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... just amazing to see, because they showed that this computer could do video. And they had the computer screen, and it came up with a picture, and the crowd just went wild. Like, oh my god. It was amazing to think about how much he and his company have...
Driven
and changed technology, which is so core to our lives now.
Mm-hmm. So, not a lot going on in my world. It's mostly work, 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 and more work. Other than that, just talking to Fuzz, his mate Taryn, and that's been the core of everything pretty much going on. You?
Me? It's been a week. A co-worker at work is being a little silly. Silly isn't the way to put it. She's basically... on doctor's orders to take it easy and take care of herself for her heart. And I came back from lunch today, and she's like, oh, I didn't take a lunch today because I had we had this backup and that backup. But it's like, honey, I'm going to be here till 6. Take your lunch. Let me take care of the backup. Do what your doctor says, because this is not a good time to not take care of yourself.
That's not what the doctor said.
Other than that, saw an awesome movie last night. Awesome, horrible movie, Hesher.
It looked very offbeat.
It is. They do something weird with it. The conversation pacing is very delayed. Almost all of the scenes have a particular awkward quality to them because, first of all, it's a very awkward set of characters. But secondly, I think the director had them pace the conversation so that everything that they say is just a tick or two behind when you would normally respond to something.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these little moments of, okay, there he went, when somebody hasn't said something that they should.
Mm.
But it was hilarious in the end. I spent a lot of it actually kind of ambivalent. I see what they're doing here. I'm not sure if they're doing it well enough, if this is going to be worth it in the end, and in the end it absolutely was. Like, the final scene, I was just like, okay, this movie is awesome. I will tout this movie because this movie is awesome. And then the credits. The credits with scrawls. Lots of vulgar sometimes.
Lots of, you were saying lots of penises.
Yes, there are lots of penises. I think there's a flying penis. There's a mouse sitting on a lawn chair scratching its balls, which relates to things in the movie. Most of the scrawls in the credits relate to things in the movie.
Speaking of penises. last weekend we won tickets to go see a musical called Hair in downtown Dallas. It's not one I was super familiar with, but my mate is, so yeah, he looked forward to it, and I was just kind of like, well, it's a musical, it's famous, we got free tickets, they're excellent seats, because they were like fourth row from the stage, dead center. It was about as close as you can get. Well, it starts out, and I know some of the songs, I performed some of the songs in school, and so it's hitting the end of the first act. And it's a 60s anti-Vietnam-centered protest movie. Well, there was a particular mode of demonstrations that they were fond of and occurred periodically. So it's hitting one of those, hell no, don't draft us shticks. And at the end of this first act, suddenly you see them protesting, and then suddenly there's all stripping naked. The entire cast suddenly pulls off their clothes entirely, stark fucking naked, not even wearing a sock. And not on their feet, not on anything. Suddenly there are penises and vaginas and boobs all over the stage in this classy-ass opera house in downtown Dallas, one of the most premier forums, and there's just naked penises all over the stage. And I'm looking, and I'm sitting there going, what the hell? And we get to the act, and going to intermission, and I turn and I look at my mates, like, do they normally do that in the stage? In this, it's like, yeah. It's like, you've seen this before. He's like, yes. You knew that we were going to suddenly have flapping penises. And he's like, yes. It's like, what the hell? The other thing is, in the first act, very shortly after it started, the main backup actor, character goes by the name Berger, suddenly hops off stage. He's doing like a diatribe at the audience, comes out, starts walking over the rows, you know, climbing on seats, stepping over the seats onto the next row of seats, goes back four rows, and we're in the fourth row when he gets down off the seats, pats me on the head, bends over, kisses my mate on the forehead, and goes out the row, just, you know, touching the audience on his way back up to the stage. It's like, you just got kissed by the actor. He's like, yeah, I know.
Nice.
It was just, it was offbeat, and still the penises were the most, holy crap, what the hell just happened? Why are there suddenly naked people all over the stage?
Sudden unexpected penises do tend to be memorable.
Especially in that forum. Classy opera house. Penises everywhere. And for some reason, the sight of the penises was a lot more shocking than the female nudity. It's just, you see female nudity a lot more, mm-hmm. and then suddenly penis.
Oh, I had that reaction in Watchmen. I had a moment of the blue dong. Yeah, it was a moment of, wow, I'm used to seeing female nudity in TV, but wow.
Blue penis everywhere.
Well, even not just the blue, just the, I'm not used to seeing male nudity at that level.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So, yes. That was my dose of penises for the week.
And Panther's making little windsock gestures over there.
We'll do the ode to the penis when we get to the Adam and Eve of the week.
Yes.
So, anywho, do you have any penis stories for the week, Severin?
You know, my penis has stayed within my clothes. It has not leapt out at anybody as of late.
Has not attacked.
No.
When penises attack.
No, that's next on Animal Planet. But if it's paranormal penises, it's going to be on Sci-Fi.
Okay.
It's a ghost penis, bro.
Shark penis. No, that might be Animal Planet, too. But, so, you know.
So would that be Jumping the Shark Penis or Shark Penis Week?
Shark Penis Week.
Okay.
Anywho, do you want to read an email, Severin?
Yeah, we should read an email. Because if we have any listeners left, I mean, it's been 20 minutes of us being weird.
Oops.
So, hey, it's one of the emails from last week that we didn't get to read because it came in late.
Yay.
So, this is about the what brought you in. Well, that is quite the question with an answer that may hit close to home for our dear Fuzz. By definition, authors are artists, so by the artist that brought me in would be Tyrion with his High School Days series. Quite literally changed my life. Were it not for some rather confusing feelings that series stirred up, I would never come to the realization I was as queer as a $3 bill. So in the end, Tyrion brought me into two communities that I love. For that, I will always be grateful. TTFN, Jeffrey Wolf. P.S. Fun fact, the past tense of spell is spelled, not spelt, which is a mistake I've made making for years, and ultimately wish to save you all the embarrassment of making. Ta-ta again. So, yes, Tyrion's High School Days.
I don't think I've read that. I keep meaning to.
Well, it's kind of gay.
Well, yes. Wouldn't really expect otherwise, I mean.
I read it, like, a long-ass time ago. But I think I ended up, I was actually reading Trevor stories from Fuzz before that.
I have actually never read anything by Fuzz or Tyrion. Oh, no, that's not true.
The one from 10?
Yes, I read that. That was fantastic.
Yes.
So, yeah, those two, them and their stories on the primordial net, if you wanted your fat fiction, they were two of the go-to authors.
Nice.
Back in the day.
Back before I fell into this, I don't know what this would be.
This thing.
This hive of scum and villainy that is my current social group.
Yep.
No, that's one thing about once you get in a social group of people, it feels kind of weird hunting out their work because it's almost, you don't want to kind of, how to put it? It's a mix of reading what they write as far as fat fiction mm-hmm. and then associating with that person that you go and have dinner with and it's like, oh my, he wrote what? And he's sitting right there. Plus, I think it's also a little bit of reluctance not to fanboy if you really do enjoy something. It's kind of weird.
See, I don't know. I've known Fuzz and Saverin at least for longer than Notcast. I think did I know them before Notcast? Before I knew about Notcast, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started listening to the show, and it was awesome. And I think that I was not quiet or calm, understated in my fangirling. I think that I continued to fangirl over it.
Oh my.
Do we want to go Wittershins or the other way?
Either way.
Yeah, I'll read then. Episode 155, Fall is Fell. Hello, folks. Ren is here. It's an open topic week, so I thought I'd just say how much I like October, but in particular, how much I love Halloween. I don't know why it is, but I've never lost fascination with this time of year. I think it's like a kissy face or a fanboy face.
Yes.
As always, keep up the good work and have a happy early Halloween to you all. P.S. I haven't uploaded that image to FA, so yeah, enjoy. That's a nice little image of kind of a werewolf.
A werewolf in the road. It ate somebody.
Yes.
But now it's been lit up by the car's headlights. Is it going to get run over? Or is the werewolf going to jump through the windshield and kill some bitches?
And I have to say, Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. It and Christmas are a real toss-up. I have to say Halloween edges slightly ahead. So.
Well, yeah, Halloween, you get to go out, dress up, have fun. Christmas, you know, you have to spend time with family.
Yeah, but I like my family.
Well, yeah, but Christmas, you have to spend time with family.
Well, if
like him or not, you still have Uncle Bob who wants to tell you about his goiter surgery. Or something like that.
I like Halloween because I get to go to work dressed up in a costume. I'm totally going as a villager from the village this year to work. Nobody will recognize it, but that's fine by me.
I mean, I've done that before myself.
All the things I'd like to dress up of usually has either face paint or a mask or something, and we're not supposed to wear anything above the collar.
Ah.
So that kind of takes out a lot of the thrill for me.
It's like, yeah. I did once wear my Klingon costume to work for Halloween.
With a forehead and everything?
Yep. Yep. It's one that I got for the wedding of a friend.
I've heard about this wedding.
Yes, she knew that I had done the Star Trek Klingon thing in high school and said she wanted me to come as a Klingon. So I put the costume together for her for the wedding. It was awesome. I like Halloween as my favorite holiday because of that, but Christmas has my favorite traditions. The Christmas tree is my favorite all-time ever holiday tradition.
I have to admit, I really like the Christmas tree. And the thing is I'm not Christian.
Well, Christmas trees aren't.
Oh, well, I know. I meant the whole holiday, the thing is, the event that this thing is tailored towards. And I know that it's glommed on to a lot of traditions from a lot of other religions, but it's just weird. It's been gathered to celebrate this, and I'm not that, but I still love the traditions, and I still like Christmas carols, even if they're about something I don't believe in.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Christmas. I think of it as basically the central holiday that everybody gets off to celebrate their particular holiday in that time of year.
Yes.
My personal favorite is actually the solstice in that time period because it's the one holiday, the one event, that even if nobody notices it or cares, happens.
You mean the longest night?
Yeah, the solstice. It's when we swing away.
Yeah.
Or swing back towards the sun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it's yeah, I definitely like Halloween, swinging back towards his little love, so.
Yay, Halloween. Oh, so I should go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Lost email? Egads! Yeah, the email that was supposed to be sent to you guys last week must not have sent, since your email is in my contacts. Capital D colon, so I guess that's a super frowny face.
Or horrified.
It was just talking about how I've always been a furry without knowing what it was, dating back to when I was 3, running around pretending I was Thomas O'Malley and Pikachu.
Who was Thomas O'Malley?
I'm not sure.
I know that name. I just can't. Anywho.
I don't recognize it offhand.
Yeah, I don't either.
When I was looking at the Dealer's Den page for MFF, I noticed that FurPlanet was going to be there. I'm planning on attending and scared my roommate when I squealed at the idea that I might meet you guys. Hopefully this email sent Keita Hempcrow.
And it didn't, so you're all good this time.
Yay!
Yay! As for... Actually, I'm not sure who's going to be going to
with
MFF.
With everything that's going on, their plans have been going all over the place, so...
So...
I think it's reasonable to assume...
Probably somebody from Fur Planet's going to be there. Don't know if it's going to be Tyrion or Fuzz.
It could be either at this point.
Or none.
Well,
I'm going to say either both or none, but not both. And none, they have probably enough people to go and act as agents for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, emails.
Back around to you.
Yep. Dragon Con report and a question.
Ooh.
Hey there, Notcast, and perhaps Webster. Risk here with a very, very late report.
I just got a call out.
You did?
Yes.
It's like you're a regular token female or something.
That's not good. That's horrible.
As we said, she gets to wear the boobs tonight.
And they're even her own.
I wear the boobs every night.
Yeah.
I occasionally loan them out if I find someone I'm, you know, particularly fond of.
So, my apologies for that. It's been a little crazy lately. Luckily, it's mostly in a good way. So, about Dragon Con. First off, the con was huge. It spread over 4 hotels. And the attendance this year was close to 500,000.
Holy
what?
Freaking what?
Are you checking for validation?
I'm like, really?
The sad thing is that Dragon Con is one of those conventions that's something to check on. Because
500,000 attendees? That's a small city coming out for a convention.
I would expect it to be like 50,000. 50,000 is what I usually associate with Dragon Con. Out of my complete lack of
okay, so attendance is 40,000 plus.
That's so slightly less than
50,000.
So factor of 10.
So it's like a small city built up its tents around in. No.
No, a small city did. That's 40,000.
That's a small town. That's not a city. A Midwest town focused.
50,000 people is still larger than most towns here in
Texas.
It's like, what? What?
Yeah, my little town. Yeah, my little town in Oklahoma was. Although I understand that it's grown since I left.
I think where I grew up was about 25,000, 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine was 30-40. We had 2 colleges. Well, we had 1 college that was notable and 1 local. We had one
that was notable and 1 that was kind of shit.
Actually, we had 1 notable Baptist university and 1 less notable Catholic college. And we were not too far from Norman. Anyway, sorry.
We didn't even have a technical school. We had a high school. That was it. And not a very big high school. As I've said before, 56 kids in my graduating class. That's it.
Okay, so continuing the email after our little minor...
Check. What?
So, honestly, it reminded me of the crowds at Disney World, only in Atlanta. Which, again, 50,000 people is probably a normal crowd at Disney World. My friends and I arrived at 6, 2 hours before the reservation line opened, and we were still waiting in line for an hour before we got our badges and got going. The thing that surprised me most was the diversity in the crowds. I expected some anime cosplayers, but the amount, quality, and diversity really shocked me. There was a group doing an alien cosplay with a fascinatingly real alien, an incredible Halo group, and a pair of Harry Potter cosplayers that could have sworn were actually the actors who played Hagrid and Snape. It got to the point where my friend and I, while eating lunch, had an entire conversation about why someone would wear a moose mascot outfit to the con before we realized it was just a mascot for a nearby restaurant, the Caribbean Cafe.
Nice.
Speaking of furs, I only saw 1 actual suitor at the con, a rather cute husky, I believe. Unfortunately, I was unable to find the Georgia Furs fan table there, which was disappointing to me. I've been hoping to see if there were any local furs where I hadn't met. I've mentioned before, the one I do know here is kind of a dick. All in all, it was definitely worth doing, and I'll probably go again next year. Next time, my boyfriend and I are planning on getting a hotel for the whole weekend and having a bit more money to spend. Also, we really need to schedule which panels we're attending. The lines are huge, and it's very easy to miss things and people if you aren't careful. I do have an actual question for you this time. This time it's more of a social thing. I've been trying, to the extent I've been able to get in touch with the local Georgia Furs, which has been largely unsuccessful. Granted, this is my fault, as I've not been able to sign into Georgia Furs' site due to outside circumstances. And since my attempts at getting furs I used to know via forums and email have been completely unsuccessful, I've pretty much given up on the furry community as it is. Yet, at the same time, I've been doing more things involving the fandom. My drawing and writing have been improving slowly, and I've been reading quite a bit of the material from furry authors. And as it is, there's no one for me to talk about it with. So, how do you guys suggest to actually get in touch with local furs? As I've said before, my internet access is most limited to email right now. I can get into the usual sites, FA and even Georgia Furs, but the time would be brief and inconsistent, and in my experience, most of the furs I've met are unwilling to try to talk to people outside the immediate setting of forums and chat rooms. My situation doesn't look like it's going to change until sometime next year, when I'll either be moving into a college dorm or living with a boyfriend. At that point, we'd have been together for more than a year and a half, so here's hoping. I'm not miserable at the moment. I just rather it'd just be nice to have some more people to talk to. Anyways, thanks for your time. Risk. P.S. Once again, my deepest sympathies for Fuzz. I still hope he finds a way to deal with everything. So, getting in touch with furries
without access to the net only email. You might.
Is there a mailing list?
Try Yahoo groups. There used to be a ton of Yahoo groups. Email groups. They may have dropped off the net, or you might have to hunt around to find some active ones. But they used to be really big, and you might find one with some chatter still. So, just an idea. I don't know if that'll help you to
there
locals.
There are three Georgia Fur groups that I can see. Let's take a look at them. There's Middle Georgia Furs and Georgia Furs. So there's only two.
There might be something regional for that section of the U.S.
There's Atlanta Regional Furries. Fur Kids? Let's take a look. Let's see. So Mid Georgia Furry is for furs of the Macon Metro, Middle Georgia area. It's furry, has roots down here. Has previously, he was welcome here as well. So if you're in the middle of Georgia, there's these guys, and there's activity at least once a week. Looking like it. So there's that one. Then there's the Georgia Furs. Well, unfortunately, Georgia Furs looks like it's been fought in completely over saturated with spam bots. So
admin's not keeping an eye on it.
It's looks like it's been abandoned. One answered 2 months ago. Yeah. That one's kinda dead. So Georgia Furs Yahoo groups, if you can Google that, you can probably find the email list to get involved with. And that's probably your best bet.
Other than that, it might just be meaning waiting for next year, college or the boyfriend.
College should be a very decent shot.
I'm not sure what's tying up your access, but I imagine it's probably parents or financial.
Parental reasons.
Might also see if part of it is having the time for getting online, if you can add like a data plan to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And start being able to access things when you're sitting and waiting for things or riding in the back of a car.
That's an idea. All right, so was there any more to that email, or is that the end?
Nope, that was it. That's probably the longest email we got this week, actually. So that one is... That one's archived. So that's... How many emails? That's five now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, goodness. So I guess we should take a break. Because we didn't get a ton of emails this week. We got some, but without a topic, we didn't really get that many. Oh, well. Did this week's song is... Let me find it.
You lost it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you look under the couch?
Under the desk.
Under the couch cushions?
Or the desk cushions?
Yeah. Okay, well, I will tell you the name of the song after I find it.
This shit's divine. It's like the singing of fucking angels. Shouts out to Clever Pony. Shouts out to Pinkie Pie Swear for the beat. What up? Actually, I changed it a little bit. Yeah, this joint's called, Pony Swag. This is for my bronies, ain't no phony. Shit that they can ferret out, no Kilcony. OG, realest how flows from a crony. Shit, it's all love, every pony's a homie. Comely to homely, killing them and roadie. Ocean talent shows real talk, no baloney. Sonic rain boom, blown big up on the Sony. Ponies, don't fuck with them, you can blow me. Pinker mean a beat dope, spitting and I'm posted. Sitting on the hood when I giggle at the ghosty. Spike tight rap sheet, sizzle when I proceed. Blow! All my syllables are toasty. Equestrian swag, oi, Tards is a new type. No show, then you got me barred, cause I'm too hype. Aloysius Quill coin bars in the moonlight. Cutie mock 6-point star in a boom mic. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Swag, 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 swag. I'll be stepping so fresh with a bird from Rarity. Scared of me, shouldn't be. Giggle at the ghostly. I'm about to toast these letters like Sprite. Grab this piece of jet plane to melt the mic right. Let me tell y'all now, I'm a cutie mark machine. You can't stop ponies, your guilders, your haters. Switch a twitch since, get 10, stand back. Work epic on the track, rivals Apple Jacks. Pegasus pony, I've been so fly. Get hyped like Fluttershy. Turn me with the hooves, we prove we got moves. Y'all two quizzes going in short, your rap fun. Got magic on the blink, how much you wanna wager? The Mars Bobby's beach just like the Ursa Major. Hate all you want, you ugly old Neil. You're never gonna be 20% cooler. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. Ponies, 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 swag. On the track, though. Fuck a fuck, I'm saying Frost ever made a whack show. A peeping MOP, make it harder to the lactose. But I can't front as if we ever gonna lack, though. Slow it down, so far raps, I'm fucking kicking hard like Apple Buckin'. Even Dash is asking, wondering who's that man. That swag is something. Come to think of it, I'm very, verily bass by bass. God, rare like rarity. Dense heads hedge on the feminist fences. Don't give shit if you care about parody. The CITY, now I see why they said it was a cartoon I should try. Call me Diamond Dog, I am iced out fly, rocking magic ass raps with the Twilight Eyes. Ponies, 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 ponies.
And I hope your ears haven't melted off your skull yet. That was Pony Swag, Detonator Befriend Swagberg, out of Remix War 3. It's pony music and rap. What the fuck, huh?
It's quite the combination. You don't usually hear the two combined.
But it kind of grew on me, I have to admit.
So.
Speaking of growing.
Speaking of growing, don't you have something to talk about?
Why, yes, I think we do.
What is it?
It's on adamandeve.com. It's called The Tuggy.
Oh my.
It's the fuzzy sock that warms your cock, as not seen on TV. Now, keep your stuff covered, hands free, better than a tube sock. Your soft, fuzzy, leopard print tuggy includes an adjustable jawstring to keep your goodies in.
Jawstring.
Okay, not so much jaw, more draw. Drawstring to keep your goodies in. Perfect for morning wood or afternoon boners. 8.5 inches long, 2 inches wide, and a generous ball sack. The folks who make the tuggy say, don't be fooled by cheap imitations. Only the tuggy keeps your hands free and your junk covered anywhere you go.
Sure, ordinary tube socks work great, but they look terrible. The stylish leopard print tuggy wraps around your pleasure rod and sack, allowing you to let your stuff hang in any setting you can imagine.
And it is, it's very leopard print.
It's a cock sock.
It is a very cock sock.
Very cock sock.
Or awkward mitten.
A perfect accoutrement for your naked penises.
That would have been funny if I saw them drop their drawers and suddenly leopard print tuggies everywhere.
Properly dressed for an opera house.
Yes, leopard print is so very this season. Maybe if you're from Jersey and are orange.
So yay, cock socks. That's pretty cool. So, what's the coupon code again?
Not. Right?
Yes.
I've listened enough. I know this by now.
Yes. And how do you spell it?
K-N-O-T.
At adamandeve.com. Yay.
And you'll get, let's see, this is $9.95, but with our coupon code NOT, you can get this for $5. It would make a perfect gag gift. Honey, what did you get me? It's a cock sock.
You want to keep it nice and warm.
It is perfect for furries. I mean, you know, leopard print. You could always put on, like, whiskers.
Dirty Santa coming up.
Oh, my.
Now, no, that would make a hell of a thing to hang from the mantelpiece. Talk about stocking stuffer.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but you can't fit too much candy in it.
No, candy cane would go right down and hang over the edge.
I tell you what, if that came to be stuffed in the morning, it would not have to be candy.
Have you seen those gigantic candy cane rods that are like a foot long, about an inch across? Just put that down the middle. And you can put the orange in the ball sack. Just extra wrongness.
It's a big chocolate ball, actually.
Oh, the orange ones?
Yeah.
The chocolate oranges?
The chocolate orange balls?
Mm. Just hang that from the mantle. What would Santa think of that? And what would he fill it with? Coal. Lots and lots of coal.
Lots of... Yes.
Anywho, if you buy this and you use a coupon code, you'll get free shipping, though I imagine the shipping is probably not very much on this. 3 DVDs and a mystery gift, plus free shipping within the continental U.S.
Yes. We were informed that you can, in fact, get porn in Tennessee. It just takes a while. Apparently, maybe the post office has to
watch
them first. Oh, God. Who wants to be that guy, you know? You have to go home and watch. You have to watch fuck tapes at work every day.
See if it passes code before you can send them on.
And then, of course, you're like, I never want to see another naked person again.
That's your job.
It's screener. Like the perfect job for like completely asexual people,
or for your really lonely, frustrated college student.
Yep. So we should read an email.
Oh.
That would be you, Shiva, wouldn't it?
Yep, I just have to get it back again.
Hand it over.
I'll hand it over.
All right. It's titled Feeling Lost. Dear Notcast, I have an off-topic email this week. Actually, every email is on-topic, so it's not off-topic. Ha-ha. As I have been having some trouble with my relationship, here are the basics of the situation. I went to university across the country from my hometown. Here I met my current and first girlfriend. I've had boyfriends before, but after admitting myself I was gay, pursuing my feelings was pretty amazing. We were happy together for a long time, but after a while I started to feel that there was differences between us, and some of the things she did were hard to live with. For example, she would get frustrated if I ever went out with my friends without her. And a lot of our time together was staying and watching TV rather than going out hiking or to events as I enjoy doing. I initially put these off as normal problems that come up in a relationship, but as time went on, I started feeling as if I was getting bored or possibly falling out of love. At the end of my 4-year program, I graduated, and my girlfriend had to stay behind for another year. As there was no work for me in the area, I returned home to my friends and family, and we began a long-distance relationship. Supposedly until she would complete her studies and we would reunite. But since our parting, things have gotten pretty bad. We had withstood summers apart before, and that was difficult, but this was different. We've been seriously losing touch, whether it's simply to say that we are unable to speak very often or that every time we do get the chance, it always ends in a fight. She's lonely, bored, and having a hard time living on her own. I am being accused of abandoning her and not making any efforts for her, when the largest problem is that I now have a full-time job and there are three time zones between us. And since every conversation seems accusatory, I always end up feeling like an ass or fed up with a relationship. It's starting to make me dread talking to her. I still love her dearly, but a large part of me is interested in breaking it off and finding someone who isn't clingy, who I have more in common with, and who I can start having fun with again. But I've held back my remaining love for her. Oh, hold on. I've been held back by my remaining love for her, my fear of not being able to find someone else. And I really don't want to be that jerk who dated her all through school then dumped her as soon as it was over. Do any of you have any advice for me? I've lost enough sleep and sanity over this already, and I really need some sort of solution. Thanks so much for everything that you do. I've learned so much from your podcast and had a heck of a lot of laughs, too. Anani Mouse. Anani Mouse writes us a lot of emails.
It's like anonymous. So it's
I know.
This group of people, it's crazy. So I'm just kind of confused. It's like I met my current first girlfriend, but I'd had boyfriends before, but after finally meeting myself, I was gay. Pursuing my feelings were pretty amazing.
I don't understand. So I think that there was something screwed up with that sentence.
Maybe he meant bi?
Yeah.
Because bi is cool?
Yeah, like I said, I think that something in that sentence didn't parse quite right.
Could he be a she?
What? See, this is bad on me because I automatically assumed the writer was male.
It's generally a safe assumption.
With our pot show demographics. So look at me, I'm a bad person.
Well, it's okay, I was parsing, I just thought the sentence was screwed up, I didn't write the writer yeah. was... But that would make...
I didn't write the writer.
Just like, oh,
Girl writer. Yay, girl.
Yeah, I had a moment of confusion, but then I was like, girlfriend. Oh, gay.
Yes.
Oh, check.
Normally they say lesbian, but okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a valid term. It's just usually the use is lesbian rather than...
So I can't even, like, flippantly say chicks are crazy date dudes because you're gay. So you're lesbian and not a dude.
You could tell her to. It's just not terribly helpful.
Yeah, that's not helpful. So you've...
It just sounds like the relationship is strained and it's heading for fraying and parting. You've already said that you were having problems when you were together, and now that you're apart, it's even worse. It sounds like this is going downhill. It really does.
No, there's three time zones between you. You've got a full-time job. And anytime you do talk to you in a fight, that's not a healthy relationship by any stretch. And... You know, she's still finishing school, and, you know, you're so far away. Plus, you know, accusing her of abandoning her and not making efforts for her. I mean, you can only do so much effort when you're that far away.
Yeah, be around whenever your time zones line up and hope for the best. There's only so much you can do.
I mean, especially. Honestly,
it sounds like the writer's a very outgoing, outdoorsy, get-up-and-go person rather than sit around and play WoW with their girlfriend type.
Yeah.
Is the other question is the girlfriend out and doing things locally, or is she just...
Sitting home and pining.
Yeah.
Well, she says she's bored. And boredom is... Okay, boredom happens... But you gotta also try and find something to keep yourself amused. If you're bored, go out and do something. Go out and talk to people. If it's bored, and I hate to say this, at least so long as you're not destitute and whatever else, you know, locked up by your parents, you can go out and do things. It's just a matter of waiting for it to not fall in your lap. So... Bored is bad, but it's not something you should blame another person for unless they are preventing you from doing something. It doesn't sound like you're preventing her from anything. So, don't go out to see a movie. Don't go out and go to your friends. No, you're, at least you don't say that you're doing this. So.
Yeah, find a look. Have her find a local crowd. Or she maybe she should if she isn't. Find a local crowd.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt for both of you to find a local crowd. And maybe you can, you know, you've dated for a while, and that's cool. But it doesn't hurt to check your options out either. I'm just saying.
As far as afraid of being alone, a lot of people have this, and that's why they end up staying in relationships far longer than they should. So that's a pretty normal fear. Being the jerk, nobody wants to be the jerk that ends it.
Yeah.
But
sometimes you just kind of have to be the jerk because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it just sounds like you're not happy. I mean, so far I haven't seen a lot of positives in this on why you should stay together. I mean, you pretty much have just laid down all the negatives. And besides not being the one to end it, it's not like you've talked up her selling points for why you should stay together. You know, she's funny, she's smart, she likes to cook, she's supportive, she hugs you when you cry. Yeah, none of that's in here. So it's you're going to have to look at the pros of this and see if it's worth all the cons that you've laid down here. So.
There we go.
Anything to add?
Nope.
I'm sorry your relationship is in such a state.
It just sounds like the flame's going out. It's just kind of nothing.
I'd suggest find a meetup group in your area, meet some new people, see what happens. I mean, get out and make some friends.
And do shit.
And, you know, see, maybe she'll figure out what she's missing.
The only thing about going out and doing shit is if it interferes with their couple hours of lineup time, it might cause further problems.
But that's, you know.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. It's information we do not have.
Indeed.
All right. So, hey, it's your turn, Webster.
The start of something truly amazing. Greetings, almighty rulers of Notcastia. As this week is an open topic week and you are in dire need of some text to fill the ever-fluctuating time slot, I've decided to write in this week, retelling the amusing tale of how my friend and I came to love Notcast and its many patrons, and how it's generally impacted me as a person. This is my first time emailing in, and I hope to send many more in the future. On to the wall of text. Several months ago, as I was talking to my friend over Skype, he decided to go on Wikifur. And at this point, I was fairly new to the fandom, and he didn't know much about furries at all. I did, however, know how confronting it can be starting out, so the last thing I wanted him to do was go snooping around on furry sites. As he was scrolling through the many pages, Notcast popped up, and, being a podcast lover, he gave it a listen. After telling me how disgusting it was, I gave it a listen. But then again, Wheel of Fetishes was probably not the best episode to start on.
We haven't done that one in a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we've kind of beaten that into the ground.
I know. It's just occasionally fun to revisit. Anywho.
And you get new listeners who might want to talk about their fetishes.
Kinks.
As I was listening, I was expecting the worst, but rather enjoyed hearing the many ramblings on. I confessed to him that I quite liked the podcast, and he seemed to take it with stride, admitting that he, too, actually enjoyed it.
Even though we're disgusting.
Well, of course. We now love to talk about Notcast on a daily basis, and always listen to the new episodes together. I would have never had gotten close with this friend without Notcast, and it has helped me show him the many wonders of the furry fandom.
It's a many splendored thing.
Like the Tuggy!
Well, it is full of dongs.
I guess you could do that. Storage space. I had never considered this friend to like the many things I'm into, and I definitely see this friendship lasting a very long time. Before listening to the hypnotic voices of the many cast members of Notcast, I was quite a turtle when it came to people in general. I would always shy away from confrontations, and I was a mess when talking in public. I'm not sure if it was Saverin's amazing voice or Shiva's endless knowledge, but...
They're buttering us up for something.
Anal sex.
Oh my.
Are you okay?
Yes, I will be fine. But through the advice
yeah, that like was... I said, anal sex.
Anal sex through the advice that was given in episodes I can't possibly remember. I am now a much more open and understanding person. I now laugh in the face of hate and have truly accepted that living is rad.
Being alive is cool. You should do it.
Actually, it's quite warm. Anywho.
Thank you, Notcast, for being awesome and brightening my once dull life. You've changed me in more ways than you can imagine. And believe me, I have no clue how dog people fucking actually translated to helpful advice.
It's just the skill we have.
Finally, my heart goes out to the lovely Fuzzwolf. I can't say anything that hasn't already been said, but I will light a candle for you as you soldier through one of the hardest times of your life. We love you, Fuzz. Sorry for the ramble. Yours sincerely, the furry from Down Under. And I think that's Fox 3.
Indeed. Yes.
Yep. Fox 3.
That is cool.
It's either there or Fo times 3.
So, yay, anal sex. I mean, advice.
Not to be confused.
We're helping.
Well, helping you, you guys do give advice on a regular basis.
It's not always good advice, but it's advice.
It's not always good butt sex either, but sex.
What would you know of butt sex?
Oh, I know. I haven't. Anyway. It's been a while, but, yeah.
Moving on.
Like I said, everybody's got a hole.
Indeed.
Sodomy.
Some people have two or three.
That I think it very odd of me. I enjoy the act of so.
I love that song.
Call the breath of God on me.
Oh, God. Tesser showed us that movie years ago. I hadn't even knew what I heard about to know what I was getting into. And it's just this playing. And I'm,
so bad.
And it's like, holy crap, it's like Dirty Muppets. And then some. So, yes.
Yeah, Meet the Feebles.
It's pretty...
It's a rite of passage.
So, I haven't seen it, so what have I failed?
Oh, God. Okay.
See, that's a movie you should see with Panther.
No. Next time Tesser's around, we'll say that phrase around him, and he'll go, and fix this.
Yeah,
I think I've suggested it before. It's come up in conversation in different topics, and I've mentioned that concept, and the response has been a very, very stern headshake.
Much like
that, with the pouty face of why you do this thing. Hey, I'm being threatened with the doorknob scepter. I feel special today.
Rite of passage unlocked. But you haven't gotten hit yet.
This is true. I have not been hit.
Okay, so your turn, Severn.
Yes. Okay. Hello, Cast Potters. I was wondering if you could give me advice on how to get over somebody who you see and deal with nearly every day. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Super Crazy Fanboy Whiskey, Ember. P.S. Sexy Voice Savern, do you still play Magic the Gathering? Occasionally with friends. I do. So, how do you get over somebody you have to see on nearly daily?
Wasn't this a writer that had written in a couple weeks back?
I'm pretty sure he's written in before.
Yeah. Getting over someone you see daily is hard. It really is hard.
I don't know if you ever really do until you get the distance.
I know I didn't. I really didn't get over when I broke up with my mate and having to live with him and pick him up from work and take him shopping and all this other stuff daily until he
left, so I don't have any advice about this, except for good luck.
I haven't been in that sort of situation, but I have been in one where it was a lot of antipathy,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't something that was gotten over while there was contact. It was a hide away, minimize contact as much as possible, and try to get on with living.
Yeah, I'd have to ask what kind of contact you're having with them, and then do as much as you can to try and minimize it. I mean, if you're working, you might want to try job hunting for somewhere else.
Or see if you can transfer departments, or which side of the building your cubicle is on.
Yeah, or see about swapping roommates with somebody. The best thing that we can do is find a way to get apart from them one way or another and minimize contact every way you can possibly do so.
Oh, dear. What's this?
It is something that I was linked on the Twitters that I will explain after we finish with this email.
Okay.
Well, I'm out of advice, so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've not been in a situation where I've dated somebody and also been in close contact with them after the fact. So I'm kind of... Listen to Shiva. Let her be the dispenser. The poop dispenser here.
Did you say poop dispenser?
Poop dispenser here.
So
there's this
bullshit dispenser.
So there's this we talked about it one of the times I was on this oxytocin thing. It's the cuddling chemical.
Oh yes.
They have actually done studies that show that you can develop a Pavlovian response,
mm-hmm.
where if you cuddle with somebody and your body is used to secreting oxytocins, when you're with them, then if seeing a picture of that person or seeing that person can actually stimulate.
Ooh, that would be nasty. Release.
So I don't know how much that would play into something like that.
That would be mean to do to someone trying to break that tie and that attachment. But I can see how that would maybe help some of the stuff linger when you're still in contact with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, on to the final email. Kind of a short week this week, but that's okay.
Yep.
Let's see.
Deal with it, nerds.
writing under a tree.
Still over an hour.
Nah, it's not bad. Dear Notcasters, it's the C-word bunny here again to make a follow-up. Thanks for what you told me last week, because things have gotten kind of awkward. I told my two friends, B and D, what was up. At first, they were confused since we were both together at some point in time. But they understood when I explained that I was with them one at a time, not all at once, and now we are fine again. The two are now on a 4-day date in the Springfield, Oregon, and I'm trying to figure out what is up there, though. Maybe some Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament that B would love. They're both nerds and furs, by the way. Anyway, Notcast, I do have something I want some input about. You see, I'm a furry writer and I love to write stories. But lately, my main project is kind of, well, moving like molasses in Alaska. I will admit I have writer's block. I was wondering, Notcast, do you have a cure for writer's block? I am not a baby bunny. I think this is baked bunny, judging by the writing style and that tagline. Writer's block. Write something else. If you can't hammer out your current story, write anything. Just go noodle on something else. Write a different part of the story. If you've got something later on that you're burning to get out, write that part and stitch them together later on. That's usually what I do.
Yeah. Get scenes out of your head and onto paper as quickly as possible. A lot of authors, they say carry a little notepad so you can, like, oh, shit, I've got this idea where, you know, this guy does this stuff at the place and just write that shit down. You know, not while you're driving, obviously, and, you know, middle of a meeting when your boss is talking and you're writing a story. It's not a good thing to do. But, you know, if you have an idea and the inspiration hits, have a little pocket notebook and write that shit down.
So NaNoWriMo is also coming up. I think it's next month.
It's November, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think it's over.
I thought it was November. I hope it's not over.
I thought it was November.
NaNoWriMo.
It would be sad.
It is November, yes.
Okay. Good. And one of the things that I kind of like about that whole concept is that it starts with what you're writing is going to suck, and they strictly look at word count.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hit a point where you can't write something, look at something running across the floor and write to describe it, or, you know, just keep typing.
Yeah, sometimes it's just stream of consciousness, and sometimes it takes writing something else to kind of get the juices flowing and get you to make that leap to, oh, that's a good idea, I'll take it from there, you know?
And to clarify, I don't mean that what you write in NaNoWriMo is going to suck, but first drafts are going to suck and have bits that need to be cut out or added or changed.
Or fleshed out or more description. They walked into the room. What does the room look like? You know, add flavor. Go back and reread what you've already written. Do corrections. Do cleanup. Flesh out descriptions. Add more bulk to it. And sometimes going back and rereading what you already wrote can inspire you to go further. So, yeah.
So, yes.
I'm sure if Fuzz was here, he'd have more information. But,
yeah.
We can always see if later on if he's got something to add to breaking the writer's block. So, are we going to go with that topic for next week, Severin?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with it. You had the idea in your head. You explain it.
Oh, great. We have a saying, and we, you know, toss it around a lot, buy now, gay later. And that's going to be the topic for next week. Have we used that exact topic before?
Probably a long time ago.
Well, we can always revamp it. Buy now, gay later, the sexuality mambo, which is almost, I won't say everybody, but there's a fair number of people who have, growing up, they come to realize if I'm gay, or I'm bi, or I'm straight. They know what they are, they're secure in what they are. And then later on, something happens to make them reevaluate. Oh, I really don't like girls all that much. You know, I'm actually gay. Or, you know, I'm gay all these years. And, well, but, you know, there's actually a couple girls. Occasionally there is a girl I like. You know, that whole shift in perception, how you've dealt with it, how others have dealt with it, and the pain that you've had to do, or pleasure, that has come out of this realization. Was it easy? Was it hard? Was it just something that happened? You know, have you ever thought that you were one thing and then turned around and tripped and, oh, wait, maybe not. So that's kind of the topic for next week. Long-winded, but I think everybody gets a gist of it.
All right. Well, that is, I think that's it. So, that was an episode of Notcast, huh?
Yes, it was.
Nope. Chuck Testa.
What is that? Somebody said to say that. What the fuck is that?
I'll show you. It's this crazy taxidermist guy. Okay. Let's just look it up on YouTube and show you.
Okay.
Anyways, on that note, good night.
And big balls, and I'm confused.